Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left top right hand, Deontay Wilder, all over Fury.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You want to run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You going to run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well that he fight, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. He punch good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, as I sit here freezing in the Sports Byline Studios, folks. Remember, David Letterman's ploy was to have the studio like at 55 degrees, you know, to make the crowd sort of cold so they couldn't get comfortable, this kind of stuff, right? I think the boss does it here. He's got it down in the 40s. Bottom line is, we're freezing here at the Sports Byline Studios, but then again, that's just another day. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. For the next hour, we're talking sports, of course, combat sports, mainly boxing and mixed martial arts, because the UFC has a card tonight. Am I imploring you to buy it? Probably not. You can save your money, watch it on YouTube a little bit later, or some other form of piracy. Am I advocating piracy? No, I'm not. But the bottom line is, if you live in a foreign country and you're able to pick the UFC up on a link, pick it up on a link and save $80. That's just the way I'm talking about it. Also, of course, we're going to talk about Jermell Charlo in depth with boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer in a couple of minutes. Of course, Charlo undefeated, says he wants to fight Canelo Alvarez, but he doesn't want to fight David Benavidez. You got to make, there's got to be something in between, bro. You just can't just like step up and fight the king. You got to beat somebody under the king. The bottom line is, Jermell Charlo's got some insecure problems. Of course, Jermell, do you get confused? I don't. Bottom line is, Jermell's a better one. He's 160 pounds. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA, The Zone. Gonna go heavy with boxing. Hey, Joe Smith is in one main event. Joseph Jojo Diaz advocating his IBF junior lightweight title in another main event. Of course, he couldn't make the weight. A WBO junior middleweight title on the card. And of course, February 13th as well, another card on The Zone. Josh Larrington versus Mauricio Lara. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, often imitated, but never duplicated.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Stop! In the name of
God. When I was working the Z Channel, everybody in L.A. had the Z Channel. It was like the 1980s version of like HBO L.A. style. You know, some movies, a little sports, a couple documentaries here and there. Unbeknownst to me, these Hollywood star types were watching me do my thing monthly with legendary L.A. Dodger announcer Tony Hernandez. That's right, Hernandez and Fernandez. So one night at the L.A. Forum, I see Mary Wilson. She says, hello. I'm like, whoa, out of the blue. She says, hello. So anyway, she ends up telling me she watches me on Z, blah, blah, blah. We talk a few times about her upcoming projects or maybe my upcoming projects or what I was doing. But for the most part, the lady from the Brewster Projects, of course, the original Supreme, she wanted to talk about boxing. Speaking of the original Supreme, of course, she had contempt for Diana Ross and at the same time had empathy for her fellow late Supreme. I'm talking about Florence Ballard. Of course, bottom line is she passed this past Sunday, February 8th in Henderson, Nevada. I'm closing a little stunned on this one. Mary had class. May she rest in peace. She was a class act, folks. I kid you not. Every time I saw her, she always put that palm out to me like, stop, stop. What's up, Pedro? Stop. Bottom line is we had a great time. And unlike Miles Davis, who I spent an hour with at the LA Forum one night, didn't get couldn't understand 10 words from him. She was very eloquent in her diction, no doubt about that. May she rest in peace, the great Mary Wilson, 76 years old, born in the Brewster Projects, Detroit, Michigan, of course, a product of Motown. Motown Records, of course, Berry Gordy is still 91 years old, still rocking and rolling. Berry's outliving everybody. That's just the way it is, I guess. You are the evil outlasts the good. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. My next guest is the star of the Saturday show. Of course, he is recently a father. Sebastian Palmer has come into the family in the last month. He's over a month old now, so we want to wish you on that. I wish you the best on that. So let's start off with Jermall Charlo, Socrates, 31-0. Does he have the intestinal fortitude that a champion should have?
I think he's a guy with a lot of talent. You know, you really wish that these guys, I mean, it's hard to believe. He's been on the scene for a while, and I believe he's already 30 years old. He has yet to have a career-defining fight. And boxing is a sport, as you know, that you get old overnight, you know. So I know he's been paid well. He is a known name in boxing circles, but outside of boxing, I don't think people know who the Charlo brothers are. And, you know, you almost see it as like a waste of talent and an opportunity. You want to see him have a career-defining fight. There's plenty of good fights out there for him, but well, he doesn't seem too eager to take part in them.
No. I mean, he says he's willing to step up to 168 and fight for Canelo for like the big money, but he doesn't want to do a stepping stone on the way, as he turned down Benavidez this week. Of course, Benavidez, he... undefeated lad, former WBC super middleweight champion. I don't know if he's got the title back or they're going to give him the title, but the bottom line is Benavidez can fight. It would have been a good fight, him and Charlo. Charlo turned that one down. Charlo says he's really a 154-pounder fighting these guys at 160 and 168. Bottom line is, I'm getting tired of his excuses, bro. Him and his brother, they need to step up and do something.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm right on board with you. And why can't that fight be made? They're both under the PBC umbrella.
Exactly. 13 years of professional. He's turned pro in 2008. He hasn't got a significant fight yet that we can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Remember Jermell Charlo in that fight? No. Anyway, switching gears here. I'll go back to Charlo just for a second. So he's not a 168-pounder. He's not a 160-pounder, really, 154-pounder. What about Roberto Duran? He moved up from 122 to 126 to 135 to 147 to 154 to 160 to 160. He won titles in those weight classes, except for 140 and 122. I mean, when he burst on the scene, he moved up in weight. I think that's what shows true greatness, when you're able to beat guys that are bigger than you, unlike Marvin Hagler, who beat guys that were smaller than him. You knew I was gonna jab Hagler there, huh?
Leave Marvin alone. I'm sure he's having a big plate of linguine and, you know, enjoying life. Listen, when you mention guys like Duran and Leonard and Charlo in the same breath, it's to show Mr. Charlo, this is what a real professional fighter that wants greatness. But I really believe that it's the money. The money has ruined the drive. I mean, Charlo's have made some good money, you know, and their fights are on television, and it seems like they're just complacent. You know, they're happy, and it's like, why risk this undefeated streak that I have, or, you know, against C and B level fighters? You know, why take that risk unless, oh, okay, I'll take Canelo, yeah, because he'll get paid double of whatever he's made in his life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a shame. I think it's an aspect that the money has ruined boxing in some aspect.
Jeez, you really think so? Of course, Roberto Duran got $1 million for the first Leonard fight, never made more than $1 million before that. They offered him $8.5 million. To take the second Leonard fight, and they knew he was like 204 pounds when he started off there in camp, had to come down to 147. They knew it was going to be hell. Bottom line is, he would have cut off his arm to make 147 to make that $8.5 million, because at the end of the day, let's be honest, it ain't about belts, it's about making money.
Absolutely. And just going back to Duran at 37 years old, went up to middleweight and fought Iran Barkley.
The monster.
Probably the biggest middleweight in history. That era, any era.
Yeah. Yeah, he went on to fight heavyweights. You know what Iran told me when I first met him? This is classic Iran Barkley. I kid you not, Sock. He's all busted up, his eyes hanging, because Eddie Aliano used some Bond Cell solution to close his cut during the Tommy Hearns fight in June 1988 at the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel. But they used that illegal cut substance to burn his cut closed. So he's sitting there with an ice pack on his eye, Iran Barkley, and I walked up to him, green little reporter. I said, Mr. Barkley, or Iran, my name is Pedro Fernandez. He goes, although my name is Iran, I never did.
Hey, that's a fellow Bronxite, man.
I was speechless there for a second. I mean, okay. You just knocked out Tommy Hearns with one punch.
And by the way, I heard that he's on the mend from Corona, so I wish him a speedy recovery. The Blade, you know, probably the most. How can I say? He's a guy. If there's ever an event in New York, you will see the blade. There's some sort of dinner involved or a war.
Are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me he's a buffet burglar?
Hey, someone's got to do it, right?
Okay.
He's a good dude.
Hey, Mitchell Rose died this week. Mitchell Rose, of course, a journeyman heavyweight. Is he from your neck of the woods?
I believe he's from Brooklyn. I want to say, I saw that I never got a chance to cross paths with him.
He beat Butterbean, and I can't figure out, there's something else I remember the guy about, and I can't remember what it is. Either I hung out with him at a fight, or we were at some type of post-fight party. I can't remember what it was. Maybe Luda Bell introduced him. I don't remember. Bottom line is, but he beat Butterbean. He passed away this week at the age of 51 years old. So Canelo, speaking of Canelo, of course, he's got this guy coming up, Avni Yildirim, 21-2 with 17 whacks, coming to us, I think, out of Iran. Of course, this is a stay busy type of fight, supposedly for him next week. The Iranian can't pull the upset here, can he? I mean, we're not looking at a Buster Douglas thing, are we?
You know what? You never know. You know, I mean, Canelo's, now the one thing that I would say, I can't see it happening because Canelo just recently fought, so it's not like, and he's someone that is maybe a little vanity driven. So you never see Canelo blow up 25 pounds over his weight. You know, the guy's always in shape and he takes his career real seriously. So I can't see him. Canelo, when he has a guy that he's supposed to beat, he usually does it. He walks through them, busts them up real bad. And it's a good stay busy fight for Canelo. And I'm happy for the Iranian. He's going to get a career payday.
Okay. After the break, of course, we'll get into depth to our fights today on the Zone. Three cards on the Zone, no doubt about that. If you got this subscription, get it. I think I'm locked in at $9.99. Hey, do you know how long before they jack me up to $20 here? We'll talk about that after the break. Bottom line is, the Zone's a pretty good buy. ESPN Plus is a pretty good buy. I think that's $5.99 a month. And you can watch every fight in history just about. I think you can go back and watch the Bill Caton big fights. They're all there on ESPN, I believe. ESPN Plus. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Remember, Mary Wilson today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
I need love. You know, there's a little tiny room in a house on West Grand Boulevard in Detroit, Michigan. A little tiny room that's down in a garage. It's in the basement of a house. That's where they recorded all these songs, in the basement of Berry Gordy's house. I kid you not. Upstairs, it was just like a normal house. And it was like, you know, the front room and people upstairs, the bedrooms and the kids and that kind of good stuff. And the bottom line is, in the basement, that's where the Motown sound was, you know, first came to light. And of course, back in the late 1950s, Berry Gordy's still going at the age of 92, as I said earlier. Sometimes evil outlives greatness. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Straight up on the line from the Bronx, of course, our Bronx Bomber, Saturday Star, none other than Socrates Palmer. And Sock, I got to ask you straight up, what's happening tonight as far as these Zone fights are concerned? Is Joseph Diaz lost his title on the scale?
Yeah, he was 3 pounds overweight. Shame on him. I guess one of those guys who just doesn't know how to handle success, you know. I mean, he had a great win against Tevin Farmer, and then he loses it at the dinner table. You know, he came in at 133.6, according to all the news that I see, and he lost his title, and now Mr. Rakhimov has a chance to make history and win a belt, and Diaz is going to have to I'm not gonna say go back to the drawing board, but you know, it's definitely a blemish. It's got to be very embarrassing, and I'm sure Golden Boy is not too happy with him.
You know, there's an unwritten law that you either make weight or you don't show up. You know, I mean, bottom line is you have to make weight. That's part of what this is all about: the ability and the discipline to make weight. In other words, you know, People talk about winning championships. I had problems defending them. It wasn't winning them. It was defending them. In other words, making the weight each time. I mean, oh, God, I would go through excruciating things. Sometimes I wouldn't eat for 36 hours, and I'd ask my mother, hey, Mom, what's for dinner? You know what she'd tell me, Scott?
What, brother?
Kool-Aid ice cubes. I'm serious. Or get this, broccoli and spaghetti sauce. Yeah.
Yummy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bottom line, she had to keep the system moving at the same time. And anyway, bottom line is making weight is probably the toughest part I ever experienced about fighting. I mean, getting hit, fighting in fights, going on the road, didn't matter. None of that stuff even compared to making weight. What about Josh Warrington and Mauricio Lara? Is this a fight worth watching from the UK today?
Just real quick on Jojo Diaz. He's going to get hit in the pockets for $100,000. That's
got to
hurt.
That's a little. Well, listen, bottom line is he would have went back and lost those 3 pounds. I think if you told him, listen, man, they're going to fine you $100,000. He'd have went back and cut off his hair. I mean, his underarm hair, his pubic hair, his hair on his head. He'd have been taking enemas. He'd have done all kinds of, you wouldn't believe the stuff that I've heard. The guy's making weight. I mean, I think James Toney was the scariest one I've ever heard of. I won't go into the details of his making weight, but that was like barbaric. I'll just put it to you like, it was absolutely barbaric. Straight up, Josh Warrington, though, is he a decent fighter? Comes to us from Leeds, of course, in the UK, and the Zone is pushing the English fighters big time because they're from the UK, and of course, anytime they can push boxing, they're going to push it on both sides of the ocean there. That seems to be working for them because they've got Canelo fighting guys, except for this upcoming guy, but guys that have been from across the pond. And when they have guys fight from across the pond, they get Canelo's draw, plus they get their guy's draw. It sounds like a win-win situation for Eddie Hearn.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is probably the gold – not probably. I'm going to go out, just jump out the window. This is the golden era of British boxing. I mean, I can't think of any time – where you had, you know, 2/3 of the heavyweight title, you know, being owned by British fighters, of course Fury and Joshua, and then the fan base is just ravenous. You know, they get behind their fighters, they put on a great performance in terms of production, and you know, it's on my bucket list of things to do. I definitely would love to catch a fight in the UK. It's a great atmosphere. As far as today, Josh Warrington, he hasn't fought in a long time, almost over a year, you know. So he's fighting a guy, Mauricio Lara. I believe it's his first fight outside of Mexico. And
it's never a good sign. Like never a good sign.
No, but he's 22 years old.
Okay.
You know, and he's Mexican, and he's got that. In that DNA, the culture of fighting, you know, Mexican featherweight, you know, but he's in that ring for a reason. Josh Warrington is not the most exciting fighter. There's a lot of punches, but only 7 knockouts. And eventually those guys, in my just observations, those guys in those lighter weight classes that can't pop eventually get the, you know what, handed to them. I don't think that's going to happen today, but you never know. You know, he's 30. And he hasn't fought in a year and a half, so you might see a rusty Josh Warrington.
1 week from today, Olympic gold medalist from Mexico. I'm talking about Oscar Valdez, former WBA 130-pound titleist. I think he's 28 and zip with 22, taking on Miguel Burchelt. And, of course, Burchelt comes into us with 37-1 with something like 26 KOs. Bottom line is this is a pretty darn good fight.
Oh, absolutely. It's probably one of the most anticipated fights of the early year. Burchelt is, you know, he's got that monster aura about him. He can crack. He's never in a boring fight. And Valdez is a very talented fighter. I believe that's going to be on ESPN. Is there a date for that?
Looks like, no, that's 1 week from today.
That's
1 week from me. That's why I'm pumping it up. I mean, I think that I saw Valdez at a WBO convention a few years ago when he was a kid, and he was a WBO champion, 126 pounds, real green. And I said to myself, this kid, a former Olympic gold medalist, you know, maybe he could be like the next Canelo per se. And of course, now we're talking about Ryan Garcia being the next Canelo. Is Ryan and Manny Pacquiao, is this thing signed? Is it going to be an exhibition? Is it going to be a boxing match? I mean, I don't want to see any more exhibitions. I'm done with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless it's two guys in their 50s. I don't want to see another exhibition.
Well, either. Even the two guys in their 50s, if Tyson and Holyfield want to go to Dubai or the United Emirates or a Saudi Arabia and fight, let them pass the physical and let them fight. I mean, this idea of an exhibition is just not working. And I just can't see, you know, when I first met Evander Holyfield in 84, I was complaining about stale pancakes at the Olympic Training Center. And I remember he looked at me like, what are you out of your mind? Anyway, of course, he became Evander Holyfield. And then at one point in time, I told him, I said, you got to stop with these one- and two-word answers, V. I called him V. I said, you got to stop with these one- and two-word answers. I said, because people, you know, you don't get out there enough. So we went to the Tyson Carl the Truth Williams fight. And that night, he made a metamorphosis of sorts from like a non-speaker into a speaker. From that point forward, I mean, Evander was just running because he thought he was going to fight Tyson next. That wouldn't happen for a few years because Tyson went to jail. I don't want to go into that. Bottom line is, though, Tyson sort of straightened himself out. He's got this Tyson Ranch going on there in Southern California. He's a bit of a social media icon. I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, he's all right. I saw him getting ripped for smoking a joint before the Super Bowl the other day. I mean, weed's legal in California. Don't people know that?
Yeah, I mean, I think all over the place now. I mean, in New York, it's nothing, you know, and the mayor here has decriminalized it, and probably in less than 10 years, I think it'll be the same as just buying a pack of Newports.
Yeah, but the Newports got that sign on the side, the thing on the side that says may cause cancer, and I don't know if the weed does. Anyway, off to another subject. Is New York opening up? I mean, San Francisco seems to be opening up a little bit. Is New York opening up? What, you lost me there? I think we lost Socrates Palmer. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Sock, you there? No, let's work on that connection. You are tuning to the insiders looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is our star, Socrates Palmer. He will be back next Saturday. Of course, Saturday's Ring Talk airs at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, and 8 a.m. in Honolulu, Hawaii, from my boy over there, Wildum, rocking and rolling. William, walking and rolling in Honolulu. Of course, him and the gang, the Ring Talk gang over there. Want to say this. Johnny Tapia, I was going to do in the history a little bit later, but I'll do it right now. Johnny Tapia's birthday passed this week. 1967, he was born today, 1967, February 13th. If ever there was a kid that was destined for sorrow, it was Johnny Tapia. I mean, you know, he was nutty, he did drugs, all that kind of good stuff. But here's a guy that, I think he was 4 or 5, maybe 7 years old, he watched his mother get murdered right in front of him. Somebody cut his mother's head off, basically, right in front of him, decapitated her. And, you know, from that point forward, his life was like a nightmare, okay? So when I met him, I guess it was in the amateurs originally. I guess that was the early 1980s. He was still fighting in the amateurs. And then, of course, he became the king of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then I got invited down to Albuquerque. We did all kinds of stuff with manager and, of course, promoter Lenny Fresquez and Fresquez Promotions down there. Had good times with Bob Foster. I mean, Albuquerque was just a wonderful place to be at one point in time. And Johnny was king. I mean, of course, he had beaten Danny Romero, the crosstown rival. They rumbled, I think, in 1995 or 1996. So, When I was hitting Johnny Tapia up, it was towards the end of his career. I mean, you know, he was fighting guys in 2004, 2005 down in places like El Paso, Texas, Nicky Benz, we barely beat, and things like that. And he was a guy, you know, you never knew how he was going to turn on, if he was going to turn on you. I kid you not. This is what I said to him before he called me all kinds of F names on TV one night. I kid you not, on live TV. I said to him, well, Johnny, you and I have been here many times, haven't we? It's been a long time. He goes, what the F are you trying to say about that? Whoa. You never know how to go with Johnny Tapia. Happy birthday, La Vida Loca, Johnny Tapia. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Supremes to the break.
Yeah. what time are you going to bed tonight?
It's been hard to sleep, believe me. I've been trying to sleep, and I'm just so anxious right now.
Well, you know, you're going to watch movies, and you and your wife?
I'm just too hyper, no?
Well, I know, but, man, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't really care. Are you climbing the walls? I mean, do you have plungers on your shoes when you climb up the walls? And...
No, I tell you what I do is I read my Bible and try to stay cool and calm, but it's kind of hard still, too.
You ever take out pictures of Danny Romero?
Do I what?
You ever take out a picture of Danny Romero and look at it? Like,
yeah, I've been having him in my gym while I've been training.
Yeah? A nice picture of him and not so nice picture of him.
No, well, you know, it's not so nice now, but it was nice when I first got in.
And well, you trained at the top ranked gym here in Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fletch, is Fletch as cool in the corner as everybody sees, says he is? I mean, is he as cool in the gym as he is in the corner on TV?
Well, you know, Mr. Fletch is just an amazing man all the way around. I mean, he's a legend. I don't got nothing bad to say with him. It's all good and positive.
I'm not asking to say nothing bad. I'm just asking, is he as cool and calm as he seems? I mean, the guy seems like he has ice running through his veins.
Yeah, he's cool, calm, and collective.
Hey, cool, calm, and collective. I wish you the very best of luck this Friday night.
Hey, Pedro, I appreciate it. Say a prayer for me, buddy. And if there's anything I can do for you anytime, you let me know.
The great Johnny Tabby, born on this day in 1967. Of course, we had our ups, our downs, but that was one of the good times. I think he was about to fight Danny Romero back in 1995, of course, the Battle of Albuquerque. Speaking of today in history, Billy Kahn beat Tony Zale. Of course, that was in 1942 in New York City. Rocky Marciano knocked out Lisa Vold in Philadelphia in the sixth round in 1952. 1982, Michael Spinks beat some hobo by the name of Mustafa Wasajev, retained the WBA light heavyweight title in AC. Alexis Arguello on this day in 1982 knocked out Bubba Buscemi to retain the WBC lightweight title in Beaumont, Texas. Buscemi, a national Golden Glove champion, got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. And on this day in 1983... Boxing history brought to us by our house historian, Grandmaster Billo. Of course, 1983, Donald Curry, winner 15 over John Suk Wang. I kid you, that was his name, John Suk Wang. I used to call him Pisu Spit, but I used to say and change the P to an H, because that's how bad some of these guys from Korea used to be, I kid you not. Of course, Curry displayed poor sportsmanship, no doubt about that. And the Saul Mambi Wars, Leroy Haley and Saul Mambi, of course, they went back and forth with the WBC light heavy junior 140-pound title. And it was probably the most boring fights of all time, no doubt about that. And in 1993, James Toney knocked out Iran Barkley in the ninth round to win the IBF super middleweight title. Of course, Iran the Blade Barkley, we talked about him a little bit earlier. And of course, Johnny in 1998 celebrated his birthday with a 12-round decision over Rodolfo Blanco. I think I did that fight. I did do that fight. It was at the Pit, I believe, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in 2003, the great Cuban great Kid Gavilan died at the age of 77 years old. Of course, Kid Gavilan, I made a mistake one time. I was in Florida. I think it was a New Year's Eve thing around 1999, something like that. Anyway, I gave the microphone to Kid Gavilan. I didn't know. The guy, you know, he'd been a little bit punchy, didn't speak English too well. I gave him the microphone. It didn't go over too well. I had to grab the mic back out of his hand. I learned from that point forward what a lot of TV hosts learn. You don't give the microphone to a child, okay, and you don't have – I hate to say that – and you don't have animals on the show. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the UFC, of course. Last week, rocking and rolling in Las Vegas, the heavyweights were in the main event. Alistair Overeem, I call him Alistair Overeem, of course, a veteran of like damn near 60 fights as an MMA fighter, former kickboxer. I mean, he won the Grand Prix, and he won Pride Championships. I mean, he's won everything but a UFC title. And now at 40 years old, he's not going to win that. He got knocked out last week by Alexander Volkov, who stands about 6'7", 6'8". And he can box. He can punch. I mean, he stands. He's a stand-up type of puncher, stand-up type of boxer. Probably going to go well in the world of the UFC. Of course, the ability to stand and punch is something else. But then again, you've got, you know, Francis Ngannou who can do both. But the bottom line is, in the co-feature, Corey Sandhagen knocked out Frank Yeager. That was like a flying knee, one of the most amazing knockouts I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that was brutal. That was as knocked out as you ever get. You got knocked the you-know-what out. He did get knocked the you-know-what out. Clay Guida defeated Michael Johnson in the Battle of UFC Veterans. Outside of that, the rest of the card sort of sucked. Of course, tonight the UFC's rocking and rolling on pay-per-view. UFC 258 coming to us from Las Vegas, Nevada, on top of the welterweight champion. It's 170 pounds, of course. Kamaru Usman, once beaten, taking on Gilbert Burns. Burns, of course, and Usman come from the same team, the same gym, so it's like a battle of stablemates. What's going to happen there? I think Usman's the better fighter. He's got almost an unbeaten record. And, of course, I think he's got some skills that other people just don't have. He's a monster. We'll see what happens tonight. But that's a good fight, him and Gilbert Burns in the main event. Co-feature women's flyweight bout, 125 pounds, Macy Barber taking on Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso, of course, in the third fight there, as far as the pay cards concerned, pay-per-view cards, right? Pay-per-view, UFC 258 is on pay-per-view, ESPN pay-per-view, unless you want to steal it from some site. And the problem is when you steal fights, and I'm not saying I've ever stolen any fights, but when you steal fights, unless you're Johnny Signorella down there in Vegas, because he's got a computer he doesn't care about, okay, it's gonna infiltrate your computer with all kinds of viruses and malware and all kinds of crazy stuff. So a lot of times I don't know if it's worth it to actually try to steal something, you know, because you get all the crap that goes along with it. Anyway, Kelvin Gastelum is a middleweight, of course, going to 185 pounds, taking on Ian Heinz. Heinz could fight a little bit, him and Gastelum. I guess whoever wins there sticks around. Whoever loses is out of town. But the bottom line is USC is hurting, I think, for talent. I've been saying that for months. Of course, speaking of the aforementioned Francis Ngannou, good Lord, he is the monster of all heavyweights, folks. I kid you not. And I think that he will become the heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, I don't see any other thing happening on March 27th. Of course, they don't know where this fight's going to be yet. I'll take that back. It's going to be at the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, this will be a UFC 260. I think if there's a fight worthy of buying in the UFC as far as their schedule is concerned, this is the one. March 27, 2001 from the Apex Center in Las Vegas on top. The heavyweight champion of the world. Talk about the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. The slightly built Stipe Miocic. What's he weigh, about 225, 230? Not a big guy. Boxer. Cleveland Golden Gloves champion. Ohio State Golden Gloves champion at one point in time. Francis Ngannou. He was once beaten as a professional boxer, switched over to MMA late in his life. He's become a monster. Of course, he almost knocked out Stipe Miocic the first time they rolled around in the first round. But, you know, Ngannou got tired. That's the way Stipe did it. Ngannou got tired, and that was the strategy all along. And Ngannou lost a five-round decision. But that's going to rock and roll. March 27th, I think that's a big card to watch as far as pay-per-view is concerned. Now, the rest of the UFC schedule? Not all that impressed with it. Just not. I mean, bottom line is UFC is hurting for talent. I've talked about that before. When you want people, pay people 8 to 10, maybe 12 cents at the most, maybe 18 cents on the dollar, you're not going to get the best. You're not going to want, you're just not going to. Not that other people are going elsewhere. I'm just trying to say that some people just say the hell with it. I mean, there's no sense in even fighting. I mean, who was that heavyweight that was getting 80 to 90 grand or 100 grand for advertising on his trunks? You know, the back of his trainer's robe would say like Pedro's bail bonds or something like that, and Pedro's bail bonds would give him like 80 grand in order to do that, right? So the UFC wiped that out. They said, no, you can't wear any advertisement whatsoever ever. You've got to wear a Reebok outfit. And there was a Reebok's going to like give us white or blue or something like that, have one color for one corner, one color for the other corner. But you got to wear the Reebok trunks, and guess what? You're not going to get like the kind of money you were getting. I think Brendan Shaw was the guy I was talking about making 100 grand per fight on his back, take it back on the advertisement, on his back and back of his robes. And then he said he was cut to like 8 or 10 grand. I mean, why would you want to fight when somebody's taking 90%, a 90% cut of your money? At the end of the day, they are the pimps of all – I keep saying that. And I know it's getting redundant week after week, but listen, Dana White is the biggest pimp in combat sports. This is absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, people talk to me about, you know, they want to rip on Don King all the time. Ripping on Don, they rip on Don King. Don King this, Don King that. Let me tell you, the aforementioned Barry Gordy of Motown Records, when I was researching a book about Barry and boxing and, of course, in the music world as well, I found some contracts in Detroit that were for the Supremes that were like pimpish. I kid you not, like really, really pimpish. They were like making five, they had 12 number one hits, right, the Supremes? They were making $500 a week, and they were paying for their own advertising and their own dresses. I kid you not. And they were getting $500 a week with 12 number one hits. That's how cool Barry Gordy was, and he wasn't. Bottom line is he's got nothing on Don King when it comes to writing contracts. Now, back to the world of boxing. I think that the fact that Manny Pacquiao is sort of like in limbo right now, but he's training. I understand he's going to head to L.A. pretty soon. Of course, Freddie Roach says they're going to hook it up. They're going to do another fight, maybe two fights this year. They like to go to the post twice. Of course, they can't get a live crowd anymore, but if anybody could turn the pay-per-view crank, it's Manny Pacquiao. And him against Ryan Garcia, I think, would be the ultimate pay-per-view event. And why do I say that? Because you've got Ryan, who's hot with the chicks. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a TikTok guy. He's the Instagram guy. And you've got 5 or 6 million girls following you on Instagram. I'm telling you, I bet you can get 500,000 girls to watch you on pay-per-view. I think there's no doubt about that. And then you bring Manny Pacquiao's numbers into it. I mean, these two guys putting it together, it will be an all-time 2021 pay-per-view record, I think, at Manny Pacquiao and the undefeated Ryan Garcia. Of course, Ryan Garcia of Victorville, California. What's he now, 22-0, getting off the deck a fortnight ago after getting locked down by Luke Campbell. Of course, caught that overhand looping left from a southpaw, a left-hander, and having been dropped by a left-hander wasn't an overhand looping left that dropped me. It was a right hook I didn't see. I mean, those left-handers, and I'm one of them. I fought both ways, both left-hander and southpaw. I was ambidextrous. that taking that stuff from the opposite side was a little bit weird. You can train for them in the gym. You could train with all the southpaws you want in the gym. And then somehow when you fight a southpaw, the spit just goes bad. And I mean spit with an H. I kid you not. I'm talking about that fight, of course, with Ernie Chavez. I mentioned Tony Hernandez a little bit earlier. Of course, the famous voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Hernandez and Fernandez, picking up some accolades back in the days as a broadcast team in the 80s. But I remember him and I were doing an Ernie Chavez fight. And Ernie Chavez, I fought in the National Golden Glove. That's when I thought I was so bad, and since I was winning all these titles, 139 pounds. I could step up to 147, not have to sweat weight, and still annihilate these guys, right? No, didn't work out that way. I stepped up weight, went down to the valley. We fought a bunch of guys that were less than stellar, per se. And they put, how can I put this? I was confident. I have never walked in the ring thinking I was going to lose. Okay. But, you know, that day after he hit me in that first round with that right hook that I didn't see coming, man, I never hit that hard in my life. And I've been hit with a bat one time. So that was the hardest I ever hit. Anyway, Ernie Chavez is fighting on the Z Channel and Tony Hernandez and I are doing this broadcast. And I said, yeah, I said, this guy beat me up in the National Golden Gloves. He goes, why? I said, yeah, this guy right here. Ernie Chavez. I said, watch out for his right hook. And what happened? He lands the right hook and knocks the guy out right then and there. Made me look like a star as far as being able to predict things. Bottom line is Ernie Chavez would fight Meldrick Taylor a couple years later up in Sacramento, California. And me and Mel being not tight, but, you know, I knew some of the guys in the Duva camp and this and that. So I went to Pernell. I went to Meldrick before the fight, and Pernell was there, and I said to him, Pernell Whitaker was there, late Pernell Whitaker, and I said to him, Mel, watch out for this guy's right hook. He hit me so hard. I didn't remember anything. I don't remember getting hit. I remember being on the ground and getting up. I kid you not. And then looking across the ring, he knocked me down twice. Ernie Chavez knocked me down twice. When I got up the second time, get this, folks, so I got up the second time, it was the second round, I looked across the ring, and there were 8 Ernie Chavez's. I mean, maybe not 8, maybe 6. But there was more than one Ernie Chavez. That's how rocked my brain was at that point in time. I was concussed, no doubt about it. The only time in my life I've ever been concussed. But I looked across the ring, and I saw 8 guys. And then the referee's talking to me, and there's like 2 or 3 referees. Even though he's holding my hands, I can only see 2 or 3 referees. He says to me, hey, you want to continue? I said, no, we don't. I don't want to continue. Bottom line, smartest move I ever made in my boxing career, because if I'd have went out there any further, that's how you get hurt. That's how you get hurt permanently. That's how these guys take undue punishment, you know, like in the UFC. They never throw in the towel. What's the story on that? You guys getting the snot kicked out of them, getting the spit kicked out of them, spit with an H, okay? And you're like, whoa, you know, let them get beat up some more. Let them get beat up. Those guys should be arrested for impersonating trainers. I mean, I always had a towel on my hand when I worked with the kids. And the reason why I always had a towel on my hand is I wasn't Jerry Tarkanian of the Las Vegas College Bulldogs down there, the basketball coach, where I had to have it in my mouth or anything like that to keep my mouth shut. It was that I had it in case I needed to throw the towel in the ring because, you know, a lot of times referees don't see stuff. And if I've got a kid in the ring that's like 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, doesn't, you know, I mean, I'm looking at him a little bit more than I would in a grown man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if he gets hurt, something happens, he gets staggered, I want to jump in there. I want to throw this towel in the ring and stop the fight. And some people say I was a bit overprotective of my guys, you know, but that's just the way it was. None of them got hurt. And guess what? All the guys I work with can spell their own name still. You're tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Come with me.
1970 Supremes, meaning no Diana. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live World. We are boycotting Diana Ross. I'm just telling you. Let me tell you what she did to Mary, okay? I'll just tell you one of the things she did to Mary. You know that song, Someday We'll Be Together? That was like Diana Ross's last song with the Supremes. It says, Diana Ross and the Supremes on the 45. That's what it says, right? Right? But the bottom line is, Diana did this song in the studio in L.A., and what she did was she brought in a couple backup singers, and she called them the Supremes. I kid you not. So Mary never got a dime off that last record. Mary was bitter, man. Mary was bitter. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, the way she treated Florence Ballard, the girl, of course, that came up with the name The Supremes, man. I mean, what can I say? That was pretty cold. Of course, they didn't screw her, per se, sexually, not Berry Gordy. Berry Gordy, of course, had a kid with Diana Ross, but they sort of screwed Florence Ballard. Of course, Florence Ballard died poor and broke in 1974. Bottom line is, may Flo rest in peace as well. Mary, rest in peace, baby. You're a good boxing fan. 1 month from today, March 13th, check it out. Jessica McCaskill, the world welterweight champion, 9-2 with 3 KOs. Of course, taking on the former champion, Cecilia Brekus. She beat her a fortnight, I think that about a few months ago in August 2020. Brekus came in at 36-0, left at 36-1. I'm looking for the stockbroker from the Midwest to light Brekus up one more time. Bottom line is, send Cecilia Packin, make her retire. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing. MMA, of course, today's show has been dedicated to the late Mary Wilson, boxing fanatic. May she rest in peace. But this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Saturday edition, where you listen to us live. It's Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. I mean, TuneIn.com, Stitcher.com, SportsByline.com, and, of course, the live broadcast of the TV, audio at Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Bottom line is, we got it going on 24-7, and you can check us out the Sunday show, 11 a.m. Pacific time Sunday, right here on Sports Byline. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.